We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I will. I'm doing my Miller Lite Friday Night Lights this week. On Friday, I'll be at the Broad Street Tavern drinking Miller Lights. 7 o'clock. See you there, right there on Broad Street. Right, Fritz. You ever going to come out again?
Well, now you change it. You said you're now just buying it for everyone that just says they listen to the show. I took Josh Allen over Wentz.
When did I get invited out?
So this week, Broad Street Tavern, 7 o'clock.
Hey, man, I might show up.
Fritz.
Nice little spot.
You can come out. Yeah, it's good. It is a really good spot.
Hold on. Where's that at? Broad Street?
It's like Broad and Walnut.
That way?
Yeah.
South, okay.
Yeah. It's west.
West?
It's west from us. Yeah, it's straight up there. So.
No, when I do Broad, I either go as south and as north, right? From where we are.
Yeah.
It's North Broad out there.
Yeah. North Broad, South Broad, a little bit south. Yeah.
Okay.
Good conversation on the radio.
Exactly right. the point is, I'll see you. And now,
sorry about that.
And if you're a listener to the show, I will buy you a Miller Lite, but I will quiz you. So if you can't come out and be like, yeah, I heard you're buying beers, I'm going to ask you trivia questions about the show that any even part-time listener would know.
Like their favorite drop.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, we could go different levels of questions. Shil Kapadia joins us right now. You should follow him on Twitter, at Shil Kapadia. Shil, hi. How are you?
I'm gonna come get one of those free Miller Lights one of these weeks.
Well, you bet. I know you listen to the show, all right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna quiz you. I'm not just buying it because you want one, you know?
Okay, I can do that.
All right, Shil. Let's first things first, just get it out of the way. And I know Antonio Brown tweeting this morning didn't really help his cause to play in the NFL this year. But let's just pretend that he stopped all of this nonsense. Would you have brought him in? It's a clear need. Deshaun's out now. Would you have brought him in here?
I would not have, no. I think at this point between, you know, the off-field stuff with him is so serious, and he's been on, two teams in the last 3 months, an explosive, unstable personality. I don't think the reward there is worth the risk. I think it's totally a different situation if you want to mention Josh Gordon. You know, I know there that one comes with risk, but that's one where I say, all right, if you want to take a flyer on somebody, that might be the guy I take a flyer on and say, you know what? Bring him in. If it doesn't work out, you can release him. No harm done. I mean, Antonio Brown's like bringing a stick of dynamite into that locker room. I mean, that could cause kind of irreparable damage.
Hey, do you think they made a mistake not claiming Josh Gordon? Because I know Ike and I, leading up to it, and then when it came out that Seattle had him, so the Eagles could have had a chance to pick him up, I think we were both like, nah, I don't think he can play anymore. It's just not worth it. But then when Deshaun goes out for the season and now you know that he's out, it's like maybe they should have considered Josh Gordon.
I can see both sides to that one. You know, in the situation that they were in, if they would have brought him in and said, like I said, there's not a huge risk with him. You know, you're not paying him some kind of monster salary or anything like that. You're kind of saying, all right, let's claim him off waivers. Let's give him a shot and see if it works out. And so I would have been in favor of, you know, maybe giving that a shot. On the other hand, this is a guy who's been available quite a few times over the past several years. So I'm sure they've done their homework on him and probably said, you know what, that's not something that's going to work here.
Yeah, when you look at this NFC, Shil, we're a little bit past the halfway point. Who do you have as your, top four NFC teams, teams that will more likely be in that conference championship game? Second round.
Yeah, I like the, you know, I had to do some predictions in the last week, and I had the Packers and Saints in the NFC Championship game with the Packers going to the Super Bowl. Now, they obviously lost since I made that pick, but that was my pick there. And then I think certainly you have to look at the 49ers, the way they're playing, you know, with the way that defense is playing. And Garoppolo has been a lot better in the past couple weeks than he's been before. And that fourth spot is tough. I could see it going to really any number of teams. I think the Seahawks are very tough with the way Russell Wilson's been playing. I know no one around here wants to hear it, but the Cowboys, I think, have the upside there to be that fourth team as well. So I think there's a pretty clear top three right now, and then that fourth spot is kind of up for grabs.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see how San Francisco performs over the next month or so, because now they're going to start playing more divisional games, right? They still got to play Seattle. They still got to play the Rams. We're going to find out just how legit they are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They've got a big one coming up Monday night against the Seahawks, where I think we'll learn a lot about them. And really, through the first 6 weeks of the season, you know, everyone would talk about Kyle Shanahan and Garoppolo, but I mean, it was everything they were doing was based around that defense, and they've really got a very deep defensive line where they're rotating five, six, seven guys, and they don't have to blitz a lot, and those guys are getting after the quarterback better, really, than any team in the NFL. So now that they're going up against Seattle and some even tougher offenses, it'll be just like we saw with the Patriots Sunday night, right? Everyone's saying this is an all-time defense. Well, they hadn't played anybody. They go up against the Ravens, and they did not look like an all-time defense. So I'm curious to see if we'll be talking about the same thing with the Niners after Monday night.
Shiel Kapadia joins us every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Shiel, I think the formula for the Eagles is simple, what they need to do, and it's worked the last 2 weeks and really worked against the Packers. They've been at their best when they're running the football. The formula is simple. Play good defense. Carson Wentz working off the play action. He's got to be efficient, got to make some plays. The wide receivers obviously have to play better than they have. They have good tight ends. But the formula may be simple, but does it translate to being able to do it and winning enough games to make the playoffs? They need one of the next two against the Seahawks or the Patriots. The Dallas game may be the season, but outside of that, you have five very winnable games. You'll be favored in them. Do you expect that what they're going to need to do and how they're going to be able to do it, that they're going to be able to do it?
Yeah, I think the schedule note there is really interesting. I mean, you look at it, and they've got Miami, Washington, and the Giants twice. They're going to be, you know, I would think, 6-7 point favorites at a minimum in all four of those games. So, you know, you look at the Seattle game and the New England game. Would you like to win one of those? Yeah, absolutely. But the truth is, they can actually lose both of those games and still win the division. Like you said, if you win that Cowboys game at home and you take care of business in the other games, you're 10-6, and you're kind of in position there where you could end up winning the division. As far as the formula, you're right. It's a tough, you know, can it make the playoffs? I think it can make the playoffs. Can it get to the Super Bowl? It's really tough. I mean, it's really tough when you're asking your offense to be that efficient and not make any mistakes, and you're not producing those explosive plays downfield, and every drive's got to be 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 play drives. It's a tough way to play. I mean, we see it around the league. Some teams can do it. I think if you have a better defense, you can certainly do it. But you look at the quarterback, and Carson Wentz isn't a guy who's, like, you know, generally completing 68, 70% of his passes. I mean, he's been, he's around 62% this year. So can you count on that? And no turnovers, no penalties, all those different things. Again, I think you can maybe get into the playoffs that way, maybe win a game. I have a hard time seeing that formula for this group going all the way to the Super Bowl.
There he is, Shiel Kapadia. Mm-hmm. What do you got bye week going here, Shiel?
No, I'm just looking at all the other games. I mean, there are some fun primetime games, especially this week starting tonight. You got Raiders-Chargers. You got Sunday night Vikings-Cowboys. That's going to be a good game. And then we mentioned Seahawks-49ers Monday night. So a lot of fun games. It's a fun time of the season now where teams are really battling for that playoff position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, Shiel, listen, we'll talk to you next week, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care, guys.
There he is.
All right, Shiel.
Shiel doesn't even get to release his pick because there's no game this weekend.
Nope, no game this week.
I don't feel as special. Let's go to Tom in Abington. We have time for him. An LTBB member checking in, Tom in Abington. Hi, Tom.
Yo, fellas. How we doing today?
You.
What's up, Tommy?
Holler at your boy, Ike Blackout. All right, so, John, you asked
that. I almost didn't
question.
Know where the hell that went. Holler.
There he is. You asked caller who he was rooting for, the Cowboys or the Giants last week. I mean, any Eagles fan knows the answer to that is you're hoping for a tie and a bunch of injuries. That's about it, right?
Well, no, I wanted him to say I root for two teams every week, the Eagles and whoever the, and he kind of gave me the answer I wanted. He just didn't say
okay.
Those words.
Well, that was very clever of you. So. John, you say you don't hear people ripping Wentz. I mean, you know you got a guy on 4 hours a night on these airwaves that does nothing but rip Wentz, right? I mean, the only hour I really enjoy listening Yeah, that's him. The only hour I can enjoy listening to him is the Rights to Ricky, because I know he can't talk about the Broncos.
Well, no, okay,
no,
in there.
No, he just wants to trade Ben during the Rights to Ricky Sanchez.
I think Joe Giulio is fair in his dialogue and conversation with Carson Wentz.
I'm sure you do. Let me ask you this. Because this is a fascinating topic today. I think you guys know where I fall on it. What has Carson Wentz refused to do as it pertains to his game on the field? Can you list one thing he's refused to do?
No.
Okay. All right. Ben's refusing to shoot. Like, that right there ends it. Like, he deserves criticism.
What would you do with Ben Simmons? Let me ask you, what would you do with Ben Simmons if you're running the Sixers?
Well, I mean,
you'd probably trade him.
No, I would actually give him this year to see if he actually breaks out. I mean, come on. He's floating all these videos out where he's taking Jays and gyms, and that's great and all, but that doesn't equate to chips.
It's maddening.
So, right, it is. That's why, yeah, but I mean, Carson, he comes out on a reconstructed knee, broke his back at some point in the season, tried to put the team on his back.
Yep.
Like, that tells me that guy will do anything it takes to win. Therefore, I do not criticize him.
That's right. He doesn't do everything to win.
He refuses to shoot. I've never seen any. Have you ever seen this before?
No. Thank you, Tom. Maybe Magic Johnson early in his career. I mean, Eric Snow didn't. He even tried to shoot because he needed to. And I don't think anybody was really asking him to shoot all that much.
We used to whoop up on East Snow in the IM West at Michigan State. Just shoot arounds, man.
You guys are playing roughhouse?
Yeah. Well, no, just when you're out there playing in the gym, you're like, this dude can't shoot, man.
He was an NBA starter.
Well, no, this is when he was still at State.
Right, no, I know, but he turned into an NBA starter.
Exactly, yeah.
Larry Brown, 888-729-9494. Marks and Reese, 888-729-9494.
Yep, looks like the community is off work, and they joined the show.
Yep, oh, yeah. They're on the line.
Buckle up, Marks.
Oh, by the end of the show, I'm going to be like, you rip him every day, Carson Wentz. You're a hater. You're a Cowboy fan, Marks.
Now, that I can vouch for. He is not a Cowboys fan.
Just a Dak fan.
He's a Dak fan, but he's not a Cowboys fan.
888-729.
Listen, that's why he's been so supportive of Wentz this year. He's been a game manager, just like Dak.
Just like Dak.
888-729.
Turn my quarterback into a damn game manager.
94-94.
Alex Smith. Unbelievable.
The dream of Antonio Brown may be gone, but there's another receiver that's ready to hit the market should the Eagles kick the tires. We'll discuss on the other side. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, Ike Reese here for Pella Windows and Doors. Our birds are back on the field and the weather is changing. Now, after tailgating in South Philly, who wants to go home to a drafty house? Not me. And that's why I choose Pella Windows and Doors for my home. Replace those old windows with Pella's new energy-efficient windows. Having Pella windows installed feels as good as a late fourth quarter drive to win the game. And now through November 14th, get 50% off qualifying installation or 36 months no interest. Call 877-98-PELLA or visit PellaPhilly.com.
Oh, yeah. Marks and Reese. Speaking of wide receivers, the playmaker, Michael Irvin, joins us at 5:15. That's right. One of the guys that was a Cowboy. I hated him when he was a Cowboy, and I really like him now that with the NFL Network and whatever. Great personality, says stuff, colorful. I'm a Michael Irvin fan. Now,
he's nuts, too.
He's completely out of control. He's going to talk for 10 minutes straight. We're going to give him like 2-3 questions. He's going to answer his own questions, and then we're going to say, thanks, Mike, and everybody's going to like it. And I can't wait. That's coming up at 5:15. Emmitt Smith, I do not like. Right? Like, he's a Cowboy from that era that I didn't like then, and I probably like even less now.
Right. Well, you know Emmitt is arrogant.
Yeah.
Like Michael Irvin could have played here.
Oh, we would have loved it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The personality, the passion on his sleeve, like that's Michael Irvin. He's all about those stinking Cowboys.
Does he know that you were on the field for his last game?
He probably don't know who the hell I am.
Yeah, do we want to tell him?
He's breaking down to Mike Reese, Dave. You know that.
Like, he probably doesn't know who the hell I am.
So here's how it's going to happen. We're going to go on. All right, joining us right now, Ike, you were on the field for his last game when he laid nearly
paralyzed.
You
were there in the stands cheering with him.
Yes,
he was almost dead on the field, and he joins us right now. Michael Irvin. Hey, Mike. No, we're not. I don't think we're going to intro him like that. But he has talked about that day and the cheering and things, and he has a good perspective on everything.
Yep.
All right, so the wide receiver we're talking about that is available, he's put his name out there. Jack, I think, thinks it's a good idea. Ready?
Yeah, who you got?
Dez Bryant.
Hell no. I'd take Michael Irvin before I take Dez Bryant.
So here's what he tweets out. He says, I'm not trying to go nowhere and be a starter on a team.
That's good.
I want to contribute because I know I will be able to. I'm feeling good. In 2 weeks, I'm going to reach out to teams and see what happens. Let's go X. But then he put out a video where he looks like a 40-some-year-old. And he's not even 40-some-year-old, but he looks like an old man out there running routes.
He's only 31.
That's what I'm saying. I had to Google his age to see. It's like, wow, he doesn't look like he's 31.
He actually looks like a tight end.
Yeah, you could have a 5 tight ends on the team now.
Tore his Achilles last year. Like, I don't even have to go through all that. I just don't want any more ex-Cowboys. I'm good.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no problem if he wants to. Like, Des can be in the league. I think it's somewhat intriguing if he wants to do that. Not here.
Yeah, let somebody else sign him.
No, no more Cowboys.
No.
Nope. No more old Cowboys. No Cowboys at all.
When he really wants to be in Dallas, right?
Yeah, no, he does.
He's coming here. He's going to drop balls in that final game so the Cowboys can make the playoffs and we don't.
No, but then Howie cuts them because they need a roster or whatever, and he's not playing. Next thing you know, he's on FS1.
Right, telling all the business again, yeah.
All right, so no to Dez Bryant. Jack, no to Dez Bryant?
No.
I'm out on Dez.
Yeah, I'm out, too. Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Brian in Middletown. Brian, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Harissa Marks, man. You know I love the show, gentlemen.
We love you, Brian.
What's up, Brian?
Well, man, look, I agree with you guys. I'm out on Dez Bryant as well. But listen, as a longtime Eagles fan, I'm just exhausted hearing about this, you know, Wentz versus the receivers. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I want them to do well. When they don't do well, I'm going to try to objectively assess what the problem is. Yeah, and certainly the wide receivers are not performing up to snuff. I do know in 2017, you know, Aguilar they're both out there making plays. And so I'm wondering, like, you know, between 2017 and Alshon Jeffrey, maybe he lost a step. You know, did Nelson Aguilar stop learning how to play? So, and I mentioned the producer, I think the coaching has to carry a little bit of this as well. I mean, the young wide receivers, Mac Hollins, Arcega Whiteside, they can't seem to get on the field and make plays. What is the wide receivers coach doing? Mm-hmm. What is the offensive coordinator doing? And so, yeah, I think, yeah, the receivers, they will get the brunt of the responsibility, but Wentz has to carry some of it as well. Because the one thing I do know, sometimes he won't go to an Aguilar. I guess he, you know, he's upset they may have dropped the ball, and maybe he's going to look elsewhere. I understand that's human nature. But being a part of being a leader is, you know what, I got to build these guys up. So even if you drop the balls, I'm coming back at you and give you another chance. And again, I want this to be about unity, man. And I'm not seeing it right now.
Yeah. I mean, hell, it starts in that locker room.
Yeah, it does.
Starts in that locker room.
I agree with what he said at the end, which is that it does feel like – now, do I think that it can happen for the rest of the season? I mean, if you win, yes. That's the only way if you win. Right? If you lose a couple games, it's going to be – I don't know if there's going to be anonymous sources coming out, but it's going to have that same kind of feel.
Believe me, we probably won't have that again.
No. I don't think you're going to see anonymous sources, but it's going to feel like there's anonymous sources out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they went on next Sunday. They beat the Seahawks. If they go on a little bit of a roll right here, I think you're going to start to feel that – the team is more unified. Like you say it all the time. This is what happens when you lose.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you lose.
And listen, they won a couple games. I think now what we're more or less discussing is can they recover from the tough schedule in the first half, from the drop passes, from the mishaps, the overthrows, everything else. That's what you're really asking now is can you recover from that in time enough to get into the playoffs?
Right.
You talk about the formula for success. As much as I hate it, yes, the only way you can win. What am I going to say? Throw the ball 40 times to Nelson and Alshon? So, yeah, you can't do anything but play a ball-controlled offense. But like Shill was saying, it's too hard to sustain. When you're not getting chunk plays, that means you're grinding out every first down you get. Every new set of downs goes to a third down as opposed to, okay, we picked up a first down on that play, on a 20-yard play, on a 25-yard play. That's where it becomes more difficult, and it leaves less room for error. We were talking about something yesterday, me and TK, and TK brought this up to me just as a sort of a hypothetical, right? Like, or not a hypothetical, but just, you know, trying to ponder, like, what's going on with Alshon, right, and the receivers. We know Nelson has had the sort of confidence issues in the past. We know about that already. But with Alshon, I don't know if he has had the type of confidence issues and concentration issues that he's having now. Let me throw this at you. Whether you believe he was the source or what have you, would you agree there's enough talk around that it may as well have been him? He's getting blamed for it.
Well,
so whether you feel me, what I'm saying, like whether
it seems like it's affecting him, whether he did it or not.
That's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm making. So whether it was him or not, the fact that that has come out, and you think Howard is the only one who's thinking that way. So here, I say that to say this: he's walking around a football building, and maybe he's got teammates looking at him a little sideways, right?
And he knows it.
And he knows it, right? And it makes you uncomfortable because it's almost like an open secret that nobody will talk about.
Yeah, they just talk behind his back. Like he's hearing he sees the looks.
So that maybe.
Or at least he feels that that's what it is. You get paranoid.
And could he be putting more pressure on himself now to catch everything? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how he's become somewhat unreliable.
Is he pressing? Yeah, he's pressing.
Right.
What's the reason behind it? Like a guy like Jason Babin can walk around the locker room and he doesn't give a damn if anybody likes him or not, right? Like, that's the kind of his personality. Alshon doesn't come off as being that kind of a guy.
And here's the other thing, John.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than people thinking that you're, you know what I mean? Like, you're telling family secrets, right? When you feel like that's an icky feeling to have. And I brought that, or I said that because with Carson, to a degree, you think that doesn't affect his play from last year? If he thinks that people are talking, you know what I mean? Like people are talking about him or
of course.
He's walking around the football building being able to trust his teammates.
It could.
I would imagine,
depending on the individual, it could.
I can only imagine if I were here and I felt like you guys were talking behind my back.
Oh, right? It would clearly affect the show and the chemistry
and
our relationship and
just
everything else. Yep.
Or if you thought somebody else was saying that you're saying something about me behind my back. Now you and I got this uncomfortable silence there, but we got to work together.
Which is why they got to change that in the offseason regardless.
I just wonder if that is having an impact on Alshon to a degree.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Where like even if he feels like I know it wasn't me, but people think it was me.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's messy. There's no doubt about it. There's messy. He can say 1,000 times it's not me. We don't know who it was. You know what I mean?
Well, we think we know who it was.
Yeah, we think.
We listen to Howard.
We think we do. No doubt.
I mean, he's the only one who said it publicly.
Our Twitter question is, Our Twitter question, one thing I didn't hear was a lot of people saying it wasn't him, though, as I'll continue to say. I haven't heard much of that. I think that's very telling. Anyway. Our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers right there on Route 309 in Montgomeryville. Online, marks-jewelers.com. An amazing selection of engagement rings. You should check it out, marks-jewelers.com. And it's a good question. It's going to get us back into talking about it because we have a lot of people holding. So last night, we're not even off the air, and I hear Gilio on Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio go in and like, yep, Ben Simmons, if he doesn't start shooting, if he doesn't improve that by the All-Star break, you got to look to trade him. Right? And we know about Carson Wentz, how everybody's like, oh my God, everybody criticizes him. So we ask the question, who in your opinion is treated more unfairly in Philadelphia? Is it Carson Wentz? Is it Ben Simmons? And I voted Ben Simmons because I believe that he should be criticized. I believe the criticism's fair, but I also believe that sometimes it's a little bit over the top, right? Like people treat Ben Simmons like he isn't an all-star player. No, he's an all-star player, but he has a major flaw that he's able to get through the regular season with what he does and still look really good, but once you get to the playoffs or you play the better teams, it's going to come back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
When the 76ers struggle, I don't even need to have watched the game to know he didn't have a good game. You know what I mean? Like when Ben Simmons struggles, normally the team struggles as well. So I just think that people are more unfair to Ben Simmons in this city than the Carson Wentz. But the majority of people are saying Carson Wentz in this poll, like,
mm-hmm.
including you.
And they're right.
Including you.
You're right. I mean, I've backed off criticizing Ben really since after his rookie year. I knew he couldn't shoot coming out of LSU. So I don't necessarily criticize him as much. I understand where the frustration comes from fans that they want him to be able to shoot the ball. And I really understand where the frustration comes when you put out videos over the summer of you being able to do it, yet you come into the regular season when you can put it on display and you don't do it. So to me, that's where it's fair to criticize Ben. The trading of Ben, or suggesting the idea of trading him, to me is over the top. That's over the top criticism. But being critical of him, of the fact he didn't improve on an area of his game that we all know we wanted him to improve on and that he said he would, and through the first seven games of the season, he's still showing the same reluctance to shoot that ball.
Nothing's changed.
So that's where the criticism is going to come for him. To me, for Carson, I mean, we wanted Carson to be smarter. We wanted him to – some of you wanted him to stay in the pocket more, not run around as much. To his detriment at times, he does that. He's tried to play from the pocket. He doesn't turn the ball over as much, right? You wanted him to be able to win games late. He's been able to do that this year. Been able to win games late.
He's played well late, for sure.
And with the exception of the Minnesota game and the Dallas game, where they were basically blown out in those games, the other two games, Atlanta and Detroit, you were in position. He helped put you in position. Now, we obviously know the Detroit game, Malcolm blocked the field goal and that whole thing.
Right.
But he still put a ball on Sproles, where it was called offensive pass interference. Mack had to drop over the middle, and then Ortega Whiteside.
Yep.
Down the middle. All three plays that were very capable of being made. They weren't difficult plays. They weren't unbelievable catches that needed to be made. Just simple plays, and we walk out of that game with a W.
Ike, I agree. I guess what I'm saying is, and we'll get back to the phones, is that I just don't – yeah, you're going to have the guys that call in and be like, they should have kept Foles, he's a winner, blah. But, I mean, like, really, what are we talking about here? Carson Wentz hasn't been criticized barely at all this year for his play. He's played well. It's his surrounding cast. I've heard more about the wide receivers. I heard more about the defense than I've ever heard about Carson Wentz. I haven't heard him being criticized at all.
Pretty much from the community.
So how could he be criticized? How could it be unfair when he's barely criticized at all? And that's why I voted for Ben Simmons. 888-729-9494. John, Northeast Philly. Hey, John.
Hey, fellas, I haven't talked to you in a while. But
good to talk to you.
What's up, John?
Yeah. I just had a call in because I was getting tired of listening to all these knucklehead trolls calling in about back and forth with Wentz and Foles and all that.
There was one caller.
I've been listening all week.
A couple of them.
Well, today, I'm talking about all week. I actually agree with both of you. I think John's right. Wentz has played this year. I don't know if I would agree with you, Ike, on as far as being like, you know, A minus. I think I was more like a B plus on his play this year.
I grade on a curve. I got through school being graded on a curve. So yeah,
he was an athlete. He's used to it.
Yes,
you got that 143 score on that science test, didn't
you? Yes, exactly. Yes.
Honestly, I'm tired of hearing about 2017. Tired of hearing about 2018. We're in 2019. We're trying to make the playoffs this year. I don't care who's a quarterback. I'm supporting the guy that's going to be playing quarterback. I'm supporting the team as an Eagles fan. So the fact that these fans, some of these fans are calling and crying the way they're crying about it, it's not going to change who's on the field. We need receivers. I agree with that. There's nothing we can do about it now.
No.
They missed that opportunity. They missed that window. Mm-hmm. So I think complaining and going back and forth about this team is just ridiculous. I think it just – we need this to support them, hope they make the playoffs. Hopefully they catch lightning in a bottle like 2017 if we luck out, or even last year where we had a chance to almost beat the Saints.
Yeah, John, I agree. Let's get to the point where you win one of the next two games and then everybody feels like, all right, now we can do this, right? Right now it's a bye week, so you're still not even in game mode to where the Friday before the Patriot game, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of people calling in being like, they got no chance to win the game. I hope not. You think we're going to get – Jack, you think a lot of people are going to be doing that on the day? Because right now, if you ask – I mean, literally, I think there's a caller on there. It's like, yeah, explain to me how they could beat the Patriots or the Seahawks.
Yeah, I want to know that,
too. This team stinks. Well, they said the same thing about the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, it was like that's what I was drilled in my head about the Super Bowl.
Going back to the Super Bowl.
No, I know, but I mean, some.
Well, you felt way better about that team than you do about this team right now.
No, but the point was.
Yeah, I actually did. Yes.
But no, but the point was that at the time, when you looked at it on paper, and it's like, well, how do you expect this team to beat Tom Brady with Nick Foles and everything else? Well, they played a perfect game and they won. Now, how do you beat the Patriots? You're at home. Maybe you need a turnover. Maybe you need pressure. You need to make plays on both sides of the ball. That's how you beat the Patriots. You take it to them. You know, sit back and let the Patriots beat you? Yeah, you're going to lose. If you have that mentality, you're going to lose. But, I mean, if you...
I'm not worried about the players and what their mentality is going to be. They're going out there to win the game. You're asking fans what we think they're going to do. The players are going to go to play. They're not afraid of the Patriots.
Right.
But it doesn't mean they're going to win just because they're going to put forth their best foot. Right? It doesn't guarantee you a win because you give maximum effort.
888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. It is Marks and Reese.
I told you, I think they got a better chance of beating the Patriots than they do the Seahawks.
You keep saying that.
I do.
And that resonates with me, man.
Oh, because Tom Brady's a statue back there.
If you can pressure him, mm-hmm. that offense is not going to be – they're not a team that's going to run away
right.
and hide from you.
Unless you turn the ball over.
Right. Like the Browns, they tried to let the Browns stay in
right.
that game.
yep.
Like, they have not played well this year.
Buffalo. Buffalo could have beat them.
They've beat a bunch of tomato cans, and in some of those other games, the inferior opponent was in the game for a while.
Well, the first time they played a dynamic offense, they gave up 37 points.
Yes.
They beat the Ravens. They gave up 37 points.
They beat up on the Steelers.
Yep.
They beat up on a bunch of other bad teams. This isn't 2007 all over again. 888-729-9494.
Got to get Brady off his spot.
Yep.
You damn right you
heard
did,
that
Jack.
Before.
That's all they talk about.
Marks and Reese. We come back.
The truth, though.
Uninterrupted. We do some phone calls, and then the playmaker, Michael Irvin. What does he think about all these Eagles topics we're talking about? Michael Irvin coming up at 5:15. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Let's talk DraftKings for a second. The leader in daily fantasy sports, they brought their expertise to legal sports betting. DraftKings has launched an online sports book created by sports fans for sports fans, and it's coming to Pennsylvania soon. That's right, DraftKings getting ready to bring America's top-rated sportsbook app to the Keystone State. And the DraftKings Sportsbook, it really has it all. Over-unders, player props, in-game betting, and special odds boosts every day for the biggest games. And this isn't some offshore operation like the other gambling sites. It's a legitimate sportsbook based right here in the U.S., so you can be rest assured that your funds are totally secure. So get ready for the launch by going to DraftKings.com/Philly right now and sign up. DraftKings.com/Philly to create an account and be one of the first to use DraftKings Sportsbook in Pennsylvania.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.